Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Genius Podcast. My name is Karen Doyle, your host and founder of The Genius Project, an initiative for Catholic women designed to support and resource you towards growth in all areas of life, personal, spiritual, and professional. We seek to do this through The Genius Podcast, our Catholic Women's Masterclass, which is a four-month journey of transformation, our online courses, and our coaching programs for women. If you'd like to find out more about any of these initiatives, you can visit our website, www.geniusproject.co. And I'd love for you to come and join us on Instagram, genius_project_daily. And also, you can watch the live recordings of these interviews on our Genius Project YouTube channel. So head on over to YouTube and check out The Genius Project. Just make sure you hit subscribe so that you can get notified every time a new episode drops. So on this week's episode of The Genius Podcast, I am joined by Bernadette Tui. She's a sister with the Missionaries of God's Love Sisters here in Australia. And she has a very particular focus on evangelization of young people and connecting with them where they're at. And one of the ways that she does this is through the music of Taylor Swift. So in this episode, we will be exploring seven lessons from a Christian Swiftie. So if you are a parent or a teacher and you're walking with young people and you're trying to help them to discern the influences in popular culture, whether that's Taylor Swift music or other music or movies or just some of those messages that are embedded in so much of our culture, this episode has a lot of insights for you as we explore these seven lessons from a Christian Swiftie with Bernadette Tui. Enjoy. Well, Berna, welcome back to the Genius Podcast. It's lovely to have you back with us again and for what's going to be a really entertaining conversation, but welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much, Karen. It's so good to be back with you.
Yeah, what have you been up to in the time between where are you living and what are you focusing on at the moment?
Yeah, that's great. So it might have been 6 months ago, I think, yeah. I was on the podcast. So since then, I went to Ignite conference. We have a lot of youth conferences, I think, over the spring, summer kind of period. So, and I helped coordinate Summer School of Evangelization, which is run here in Sydney. And we run retreats here as well and had a bit of a holiday over summer as
Fantastic.
Well, which was really good. And then the thing we're talking about today as well is Taylor Swift came to Australia and
I know,
people
right?
went a bit crazy. So
That's an understatement.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think they were saying it's the biggest event they've had in Sydney since the Olympics in 2000.
Yeah.
And brought in something like $80 million in tourism revenue. And it's the first time it's ever happened where they relabeled the trains and the buses, the Swiftie Express. So quite an impact. And that's what we're going to be diving into today, the impact and the phenomenon of Taylor Swift and lessons from a Christian Swiftie, which you identify as, am I correct?
Well, yeah. And I put this together last October because I could see I know a lot of young people. We work a lot with young women.
Yes, you do.
So I think something else, I don't know if we'll get to it, but something that I found interesting the last few weeks is a lot of older men were coming up to me and saying, why is she so popular? And some of my friends that maybe don't work in youth ministry or things like that, they were just like, it came kind of from nowhere. Whereas I think for me, I could see it coming from like for ages really, because we work with young people and it covers quite a big demographic as well. I think people that listen to Taylor Swift, and it's like a subculture. I'd go so far as saying it's almost even a religion as well. So being an evangelist and someone who wants to, you know, evangelize for Jesus, you've got to look at what else is happening and what alternatives people are choosing. And then also looking at our Christian young women and their habits on social media, their habits in entertainment, what they're listening to, and how to guide and give those lessons kind of discernment, how to take on what's good and how to leave what's not good as well. So so for me, I it didn't come as a surprise because I could see I knew how big it was and could see it kind of coming, but I think it did take a lot of people by surprise and left them asking a lot of questions. So I've got a lot of questions and other people may have had questions as well. So we can explore some of that today.
Fantastic. No, that's great. And I think one of the charisms of the Missionary of God's Love Sisters particularly is your work with young people and your work in evangelization, which has been so powerful. I know so many people that have been impacted by the Missionary of God's Loves, the priests and the sisters as well over many years. And you do such incredible work, particularly in this space. And I know your heart has always been really with young people, hasn't it? And coming alongside and accompanying them in their life. And sometimes we have to meet young people where they're actually at, as opposed to coming in over the top of them and saying, you can't do this and this is the only way. We have to really look at how we can build relationship with them and accompany them in their life. And then it's through that relationship that we evangelize. And that's something that you do so beautifully. It's one of your beautiful gifts.
Yeah, no, thanks, Karen. Yeah, that's really true. And I think too, I think that everyone's called to do things differently. And I was praying about that in preparation for this podcast and just thinking like it comes down to charism and how you're built and how what the Holy Spirit's doing in you. So the way that the Holy Spirit calls on me and our sisters to evangelize, it can be really different. And I think we need that diversity as well. And hopefully that'll come across today as well, that we can learn from each other. Yeah, but I think the Holy Spirit also just taps on our hearts differently according to our charisms and places us in different situations according to where the Spirit kind of needs us at a certain time. And I think like for our sisters, obviously like we're contemplative, we spend a lot of time in prayer and we do work a lot in the church, but there's also part of us that's thing to get out of the church as well and just to be with people. And like one of the great examples of that in recent years was a couple of our sisters went on the Amazing Race, which was a
That's
massive
right.
risk. Yeah, it was a huge risk. They could have been portrayed in any way for doing that or copped a lot of criticism or those sorts of things. But I think yeah, that there's something in us that's just like take us to the people that don't know Jesus, you know, take us to the people to what society is doing because we want to evangelize there. And yeah, there's no point just kind of staying in the church the whole time. And yeah, I think that that's something that really excites me as well, is having a bit of an ear for what our culture's doing and then seeing the need for Jesus and then like really trying to speak into that as best we can.
Yes, and you do that well. I was actually at that Ignite conference last year in Sydney, and my two daughters were there. They actually went along to your workshop because they are closet Swifties, I think. That might be an understatement, but they do enjoy the music. And so they did go along to your workshop. And in that workshop, you sort of unpacked, I guess, helping young people to develop that skill of critical literacy, of looking at what are the messages and how are the messages impacting me. And I think that's a great question that we need to be asking in life, just even as adults as well. What's the impact of the culture on me? So I guess, can you share a little bit about that workshop with us?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, it was really popular. Like I didn't know, and I kind of was like, oh, I want to give them something in this workshop. And so I'd prepared like a few songs. I went through and just really cherry-picked like really clean lyrics and made this little like mega mix of a few Taylor Swift songs because I wanted to really meet those young people, like, you know, on that level. And the room was packed for the workshop. And funnily enough, I actually did a next workshop and it had one person that came along to it. My next workshop was something on prayer. And it made me really
Gosh.
see, like, yeah, and it made me really see like that that it worked, like that kind of meeting them on that level, that something that already has captured their imagination, that then I had a platform to actually say some quite challenging things, I think. And yeah, and I would say like the risk that I ran was, you know, people saying, well, are you condoning, you know, secular music or you know, are you, I was always really conscious. I was like, Jesus, please let this be about you, more about you than it is about Taylor Swift. So I was hoping that I struck that balance. But yeah, but the kind of the numbers spoke for themselves. I think all of the Ignite sessions are really popular and there's a lot going on. So yeah, but so first of all, it was quite popular and I kind of tried to give something of myself in that as well to be like, oh, this is yeah, so to kind of yeah, engage in that way. And I think it paid off. So and the point of it was trying, like you're saying, to try and increase these skills of critical literacy to kind of say, well, what attracts us about you know, the entertainment industry and music in particular, and particularly Taylor Swift. So someone who's had this mass effect, and we can see that now on the other side of the Eras Tour being in Australia. And everyone's asking the question, like, why is she so popular? And so I think like that was my starting point. And then I was able to then have a conversation about what's also a bit fraught about, you know, this artist in particular, but it goes across the whole entertainment industry and across all of our leisures
Popular
and
culture.
recreations and pastimes. Yeah, so it was a, I think it was a, hopefully it was a success in that, being able to open up that topic with young people, but yeah, but with anyone of any age, or maybe just offer a different insight, you know, for people as to how to use pop culture to begin a conversation about deeper things, that it can be a bit of a springboard for opening up really good, juicy kind of topics that as Christians we want to be having with people.
Amen. So good. So whether you love her or you hate her, and it seems that people only fall in one of two camps there, you can't deny just the impact that she has and the global superstar that she has. I don't actually think, like, I was in Sydney over that weekend of the conference, and you just can't deny the impact. I don't think anyone's had quite an impact globally other than Princess Diana. I was trying to think of another female who has been photographed and pursued as much as some as, and the only person I could think of was Lady Diana. So it's really interesting. So I'd love to dive into looking at her, because lover or hater, there are some very powerful things happening in her music, and it'd be great to dive into that today. One thing that struck me really watching it all unfold was a sense of idolatry. That was the first thing that I, it really struck me, was young girls just sobbing, like hysterical. You'd see them on social media, like literally gut-wrenching sobbing when they caught sight of her. Oh my goodness, like this is a real form of idolatry in some ways. But there's a spectrum and a continuum, isn't there, of where people fall on that. But you've developed, I guess, a blog called Seven Lessons from a Christian Swiftie. So I'd love to dive into that, and I'd love you to just take us through each of those lessons, and particularly our audience is, there's many ages listening, but particularly for adults, I guess some of these lessons can help in conversations with young people, and for the younger women, it's lovely just to reflect and to start to think and ask some of these deeper questions. So, would you take us through your first big lesson?
Yeah, sure. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that, yeah, like that reaction that people had, because I think that was the first thing that captured my attention at some point. So I think it was during COVID lockdown, I was watching one of her stadium tours, and I was just like, I kind of just watched it because I thought I wanted to understand like what's going on. I knew Swifties were like really full on, but what surprised me was the kind of gut-wrenching reactions that people had to her music when they see her live, and the connection that they feel to her music. And what it got me thinking about a lot, and this is sort of what I posed to the young people as lesson number one, is that I really got in touch with that we're craving that connection and authenticity as well. And I think that there's people will often say that her music just connects on such a deep level with where they're at. And I guess as an evangelist who knows that the gospel can do that, I think that's really fascinating that in this age where people maybe aren't coming to church, or that they don't know the gospel, they don't know Jesus, that this is where they're going for someone who really understands, you know, their hopes and their dreams, heartbreak, which is a big theme that she has, even like wanting revenge, you know, and anger and things like that. I guess for us as Christians, we would say, well, that's what you take to prayer. Like when our prayer lives are going well, that's what we pour out at the feet of the Lord. But what I could see was that these young people who don't know to do that, maybe, that this is what they're turning to. And I see it as a religion, literally. And in that previous tour she had, she was literally preaching and preaching, you know, messages of you know what it's like when life isn't going well and all that sort of thing. And that's where our young people are kind of
They're
turning to.
connecting.
Yeah, they're connecting to, and that they can see something that reflects what they feel inside. And so I guess like what I was talking to the young people, I suppose those of us that feel that in secular music, I think that it is a really big outlet for people, you know, that you want to listen to music that reflects something of what's going on in your heart. But I think what I was saying to the young people, and I'd say to people of any age, is that's only one way of processing your emotions. And I don't know that it's the best way, because it's kind of on a loop. Like if you're just listening to music to process your emotions, I think it can be a good kind of springboard. It might open up your heart, or you might realize like, oh, that's really touched something deep in me. Like that anything can do that, a good movie or a song that really like, gets you in the feels kind of thing. But I also think that as Christians, we're called to kind of go a bit deeper with that, take it to prayer or to process it in a way that's actually going to lead us somewhere. So, and I think there's another kind of lesson in there, sub lesson in there for us as Christians, and that is, well, if people are connecting to an artist with their deepest hopes and dreams and struggles and longings and pains, we actually want them to be connecting with us. And it sort of begs the question, well, have we got the resources to do that? And if they were to come to church or if they were to encounter us, are we listening? And have we got a capacity to walk with people in that? And maybe even this kind of thing is a springboard to open up some of those conversations. What's your favorite song? Why does it touch you so deeply? What is it about it? And to really deeply listen, because I think that's where people are feeling seen, they're feeling really heard, in this subculture or this religion, I'd say, of being a Swiftie. And I think that we've got the tools to do that in a way that leads to eternal life. But are we approaching that in the best way that we can? I guess that's the first lesson I would
No,
say,
it's
is all about authenticity and connection that people are finding there.
And music is so powerful. I mean, as you're talking there, I'm thinking about my first breakup. When I think I was first year of uni or something, and I remember listening to Crowded House, this album, on repeat for the whole of summer, just sitting out on the driveway, just listening to this music. And it's interesting because music can be very healing. It can inspire particular energies in us, like, people at the gym are listening to really motivational music. So, yeah, it's interesting just to reflect on the power of music, and then begs a question, what are we listening to, and is that good for our soul as well? So it's funny talking about Taylor Swift. My daughter liked a particular song, and I would deliberately change the lyrics just to annoy her. I mean, such a good parent. But and she'd just roll her eyes at me. And my son actually said, no. And my husband were like, no, they're the wrong words. These are the right words. And I was like, how do you know the right words to the Taylor Swift song? I think it's because the girls had been blasting it for a little while. But it was quite funny because those words actually get in your head. Like, I found just hearing the music in the shopping centers and around the place, like, I don't know what it is about her music in particular, but it seems to stay in your mind in a more powerful way than some of the other songs that are playing in the shop. Maybe because you just tuned into to her songs, but
But it is really influential. Like, and I went to a music workshop one time with a Christian music workshop, for ministers, and this girl said, she hadn't heard a song for about 5 years. And she said, and then I heard it 5 years later and I knew every word. And she's like, so music has this capacity to just hit our emotions and our memory. And I think that's what's happening when people are connecting, in this kind of way. So it's tapping into something deep within
It
people,
is.
I think, and we've got to pay attention to that, I think, as Christians in
Yeah.
some way.
And listen, your next lesson is to never give up on hope. And I find that really interesting, and why you've equated that lesson with Taylor Swift's music. Can you share a little bit about that idea of hope, and why does she give people hope? What is she giving people hope into?
Yeah, it's really true. And the other word I heard people talk about a lot was joy. Like, people that came to the concert, there's all sequins everywhere, and a sense of unity and a sense of joy that was around being at something together and all of that sort of thing. But I guess I was looking for if there golden threads here or is it all bad? I guess that was the exploration I was going on. I was preparing what to say, and especially because these are young people I was speaking to that already listened to this kind of music. I was like, is there any golden threads here? And I was like, well, I think that there is a lot of hope, like, in the story. And if I was, we're mentor a lot of young women, and I think that there is a pretty good model of resilience and getting back up again in her particular story. She's a lot of our young women and people of any age now maybe have experienced things like bullying, or Taylor Swift got cancelled at one point. And I think that's a big fear that people have now, that there can be this complete rejection of who you are, and how do you get back up after that? I think a lot of young people might have experienced, friendship breakdown or relationship breakdown or things like that. And I kind of, I like, obviously that I don't think Taylor's done that perfectly in any way. Like, and this is where I was sort of teaching discernment. But I think that, yeah, that if you're a parent kind of pointing, saying, you can get up and go again. Like, and if Taylor Swift is the person they're idolizing, maybe they haven't fallen in love with Jesus yet, then you can say, it's okay, get up and try again. And yeah, that you can point to someone who has done that in a particular way. So I found that really interesting. And she speaks into a lot of issues that I think young people can struggle with. She speaks into having poor self-image and body image particularly, and things like that. So I just feel like that, you know, when people are looking for role models, I feel like it's okay to say, you know, if they're listening to her anyway, well, that is a message that they can glean from, yeah, from what she's kind of preaching on, I guess. So yeah, so I just found that that was good, and like you said, that there was a lot of kind of joy around and a sense of unity, and that there was something really positive, I think, in and amidst all of the hype and all of that, in amidst yeah, the Taylor kind of culture. So yeah, so that's sort of a gold thread I wanted to draw out.
I think it's a good point that you make that sometimes in the church you can look out and you think, oh, the people who don't have God are having more fun, like they're more joyful. And sometimes it is the case. I think it's a good reminder for us in the church that we're living lives that are attractive, that we are expressing that joy and creating, I guess, opportunities and environments for young people and everybody to experience joy and just recreation and fun for the sheer sake of the enjoyment of just having fun. Like, I think that sometimes we've lost a little bit of the art of fun and play and recreation, even in our lives as adults, we can lose a sense of that. And I think you're right. She taps into sort of bringing us beyond ourselves into joy. And that's what the definition of play is, really. So,
Yeah, I think so too. And sharing that with others and creating kind of communal moments. You know, you might not be able to get all of your friends along to, you know, to your praise and worship night or to your church or that sort of thing, but you can share moments together. Yeah, of celebration. In this kind of way.
So important. Yeah, it's really important. I know, remember back to lockdowns, which I don't like to remember back to very often, but one of the saving graces and the blessings in that was Alyssa Agius and her husband did their live stream. So they have a top 40 cover band in Melbourne called Unlimited, and they're fabulous. And they just took to, so similar, that resilience piece of pivoting and doing different things. During the lockdowns, they took their band online, and every Friday night they did an hour live stream, and everyone was in the chat. And it was the highlight of the week during lockdowns. And again, it was just that music bringing you out of what you're currently experiencing into joy. And yeah, it's very powerful. So I think there's a real invitation for us to be really aware of creating those environments where we can experience joy and fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and a lot of our sisters are singers, and we normally sing praise and worship and things like that. But one of our favorite things to do is good old karaoke night as well, when it's just the sisters around and all the secular songs come out. And yeah, sort of just something that kind of brings people together as well. So yeah, I
I'd
think.
have to say that's one thing you do very well. The sisters do that very well, that cultivating that spirit of joy and fun is,
Yeah, exactly.
pretty
And we'll
cool.
get to the other side of that a little bit later. But I think too, like, bearing in mind, so I think some of this is also, can you pull out golden threads of some of the secular culture? And I think particularly if you're starting a conversation, yeah, these would be some of the things that I think we can look to and say, oh, that in and of itself, yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Fantastic. All right. So lesson number three, teamwork makes the dream work. What do you mean by that? That's an interesting phrase.
Yeah, like I think if that was another golden thread that I just felt like that's actually something I think that our young people need to hear at the moment. I think that there's a lot of individualism that goes on, and obviously like that whole cult of the influencer is a very individual kind of pursuit. And I found, and especially like Taylor Swift is a you know, a lot of these big names are, it's just their name, so you can think, oh, it's just them on their own. And I think that a lot of our young people are maybe, and all of us really, we can struggle with that connection, like in a post-COVID kind of world. You know, we're working from home a lot more maybe, or we're feeling like we've got to do it all on our own. And I think I was like, well, if so many people are looking at Taylor Swift as a role model, like I think that she is someone who has really talked up the people around her, and you can see their influence. Her dad hasn't missed a show. Apparently, her publicist, it must be crazy talented to be able to do what she does. Her band, some of her band members have been with her since the very beginning, and she collaborates with really amazing other artists and musicians. And so I think that's really interesting to see. Well, they've all collaborated to make her what she is today. And so that when our young people sometimes feel that, or all of us really feel that pressure of I've got to be somebody, it's like, well, yeah, but maybe you're the person that's helping somebody else achieve their dreams, or who is going to help you achieve your dreams. Like, there's no shame in saying, I'm not the best at this, but I want your help, to get alongside and to help me. And even to point to someone like Taylor Swift isn't the world's best piano player. She's not even the world's best vocalist, I would say. Like, there's other
You
artists
might
that
get shot
would
down
take
from
that.
some of those diehards.
Oh no,
So,
I reckon they would
no, but it's
agree.
true. It is
It's
true.
totally true. It's more like the sum is greater than the parts, like that she's collaborated with great people, and that she's her gifting is more so in her songwriting and that capacity to connect. That's what she's really tapped into, I think. So I think it's great to kind of say that to young people and say, well, you don't have to be the best, but you can actually, the way people get to be the best is by really leaning on the skills of those around them. And that's a basic Christian
Yeah,
thing, all using our gifts to kind
that's
of
right.
collaborate and to help each other to achieve the goal that we set out to. So I just thought that that's something that I think we need to be looking at and kind of celebrating in this era as well. So that was another little golden thread. I just thought I'd like to say, if there's so many eyes on this woman right now, well, maybe that's something that we can take away from what we're seeing.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, so lesson number four, forgiveness sets you free. This
Yeah,
is an
this is
interesting
one of
one
my
because
biggest beasts.
as I've listened
Yeah.
to her songs, and I have listened to some of them, there's not a lot of forgiveness. There's a lot of revenge and a lot of aggro and a lot of hate. And I guess she's channeled her pain in a particular way. So, I mean, full credit to someone who gets knocked down and keeps getting back up again. But there's not a theme of forgiveness. So, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, and I think this is where, like, I think my whole thing about entertainment, yours too, probably, you can be the kind, and we'll get to this a little bit later in the discernment kind of question, which is the next one, but it's the whole thing of like, well, what do you let into your mind, and at what point do you just go, and that's enough? Like, so I think that knowing secular music, like, that's totally optional as a Christian. I don't think it's completely 100% necessary, but it does open doors. So, you can be at a wedding and be on a dance floor with people, and it's a point of connection. But I think there's got to be, if you're a Christian, and so I was saying to the young people at Ignite, and it's a message for all of us really, as a Christian, you're the gatekeeper of your heart. And so for some people, and in some circumstances, you've just got to say, well, no, absolutely nothing. Like, this artist, or I'm just not going to do secular music, or be off social media, whatever you need to do. Absolutely, like, go and do it. But I think that even if you're someone that's like, yeah, I'll listen to a bit of secular music, you've got to always be really thinking, like, what am I taking in? And yeah, this is one of the things that I was like, wow, if this woman's speaking to such a big part of our culture, I think this is one of the biggest, like, clashes I could see with the gospel of Taylor as opposed to the gospel of Jesus, that there's sort of no kind of redemption, there's no grace, I think. And I've been reading some really great books, even secular books, on grace and how that's really so needed. And yeah, and obviously, this is where the entertainment industry is going to let you down, right? Because she's not putting herself up there as, a role model. That's just kind of an accident from being so popular and selling so many of her songs. But yeah, I think that's kind of where I'd start to say, well, think about that. Like, how does that make you feel? That it's forgiveness and having grace and moving on that helps set you free. And so I think, like, listening to, breakup songs on repeat and those sorts of things, I think you've got to really say, like, oh, is this making me dwell on, the hurts of the past? And there's other things that we can do to kind of move on from that, and being really honest, being really accountable, repenting, all those sorts of things really set us free. So I think that's where, I sort of think that that's where the discernment really needs to come in. And for me, in a particular way, this is something that I just think there's a clash there, and something to be mindful of, I think. And every secular pursuit we do has its limit, the point where you're like, okay, that's something I don't want to absorb, or I can question, I can kind of interrogate, like, oh, this isn't actually a very good part of that, that influence upon me.
It's so important. I think that whole area of forgiveness, I mean, I did an interview with somebody recently, and they were talking about just the fruit of unforgiveness in their life, and how we don't live in a culture really that fosters or supports an attitude of forgiveness or grace or cutting people some slack. It's very much, it's a hard, fast, cut you off, shun you, cancel you, whatever it is. And so that's coming through in our culture at large. So it's a good thing to just reflect on of how forgiving are we being, and how are we cultivating grace in our life?
Yeah, and I guess too, like, how I'm trying to set this up would be, I don't know if people are having conversations with, if you're a teacher in a school, or if you're a parent, the temptation could be like, well, don't listen to it at all. But I would say, well, maybe have a mature conversation and say, well, what does this song, make you feel like? Or say, like, oh, that's, we wouldn't kind of say that, or just kind of being the gatekeeper. I suppose parents kind of have to do that in a way for their kids, but as adults, we have to do that, for our souls as well, and be the gatekeeper of our soul and discern what that sort of looks like.
Yeah, great. All right. So lesson number five, you are what you eat. What does this one
So,
mean?
well, this is just a continuation of the same, but I just kind of broadened it a little bit, and just to say, to teach that skill. So that we have to think about what consumes us. And I would think most of the people listening to this podcast would know that for themselves, but I guess it's just always being conscious of, and this in the workshop I did at Ignite, I kind of blew it out to being to including all different sorts of things. I had a little poll on the screen where I was just sort of saying, well, what are the things that draw you away from faith, hope, and love? And for a lot of people, it's their phone or social media. But like you said before, the songs that we listen to, they really get into our subconscious. And I guess, that you've got to be looking for, is there good fruit here or bad fruit? And I think, like, one of the good fruit I can see, we were talking about before, is like playing music, especially if the lyrics are good, it can really boost your mood, and it can help you create a fun atmosphere with your friends, or can be a point of connection. But I think some of the bad is just if it feel like it brings your soul down, it makes your soul feel sad, or if it leaves that sort of agitation in ourselves that we know is not of the Holy Spirit, anything that we do, that leads us to that, we know that's not the Holy Spirit. And it's a good way to kind of moderate our habits and behaviors and things, to just be on the guard, on guard for that. And if you're someone that's influential in the lives of young people, to be doing that on their behalf, or teaching them that skill as to how to do that. So maybe there's certain songs I don't listen to, or there's certain parts of the culture that we kind of draw the line at. And I guess everyone has to decide that for themselves. And if you're influential in the lives of young people, you're doing that with them or on behalf of them as well. So yes, I think obviously that's really important.
Yeah, fantastic. These are great, Berna. I'm quite enjoying these. Number six is finding your true vocation, true fulfillment. How do you link that with Taylor Swift?
Yeah, so I think how I set this workshop up was a little bit of an affirmation sandwich. So I decided to put the challenging stuff kind of in the middle. So we're kind of coming back out of that again now. And I think, I think that you've got to think about, well, what's sort of happening here, and if people are choosing, to have her as a role model. And there's been a lot of ink spilt about just how influential Taylor Swift is, and how she's gained this notoriety and this sort of popularity. And I think, I mean, time will tell, right, if this is just a facade. But I think that from what I've seen, you can see someone who's doing something that they really love. And so again, if we're guiding young people through, or if we're kind of saying, well, is there anything good to be gained from this whole thing that has been? Is it's like, well, what makes you come alive in that way? Like that, I honestly don't think that she's in it for the money. Like that, at some point you'd be like, I'm sick of this. I can't do this anymore. Like that money, could only motivate you so far, but genuinely like operating in your gifts, I think is something that brings all of us to life. And so I suppose, yeah, for the young people that I've been working with, and for all of us, it's about, well, what's the equivalent for you? Like, yeah, this artist is traveling all over the world, barely gets a break. She can't even get out of bed the next day, she wrote after her concerts, because she's just pushed her body to the extreme. I guess it's like, well, what does that for you? For a lot of people, it's their kids and their family. For me, it's, evangelizing and spreading the gospel. But for each of us, there's something where we have to, yeah, it's exciting to discover what gives us that motivation, and yeah, what would push us to the limits of our human strength, kind of thing. And I think obviously for young people, if that's who's largely in her demographic, at the time of life when they're trying to work that out and they're searching for that. So it opens up a good conversation about what is that for other people, and how can they kind of emulate that in their life as well.
I think that's a great lesson to draw out of it, because I think when people get enamored by pop stars or movie stars, then they're like, oh, I want to be like them. And there is a sense of that with some of the, the diehard Swifties of, I want to be just like her. But it's taking that lesson and sort of giving it a bit of objectivity to say, okay, you might have a really terrible voice and you might not be able to dance, so obviously you're not going to be her, but how can you be inspired or take those lessons of looking for your own gifts, which is what you're saying. And also obviously it's also helping young people, we're sort of going through this with our kids at the moment, of helping them discover what makes them feel fulfilled. So what are their God-given gifts? How has God uniquely wired them? What is their unique motivational design? Because even for adults too, we have to tap into that. Otherwise, we'll end up doing things that don't fulfill us in life. So it's so important to do that. And obviously, she's very fulfilled in what she does with music. So yeah, great. That's a really great lesson to draw, and looking at how people can uniquely discover their own gifts.
And it leads to the next one. So the last one was on that Jesus can offer riches the world cannot. And I think something that I was just busting to say in that one, but I was like, oh, it's also kind of weaves into this last kind of lesson, was that I think as Christians, we just look at, well, what's the bottom line in all of this? That I think that would that be enough? Like, would traveling the world and singing your heart out to a bunch of people, would that be enough? And I actually reckon for a lot of Christians, that wouldn't be enough. Like, that wouldn't satisfy me in a
Well,
way, because I
no.
want to bring them to Jesus, if that makes sense. So I feel like that there's something where my last lesson was just like, well, let's open our minds even more, and that I suppose that your listeners, and that the people I was speaking to at this Ignite conference, they're being captivated by the gospel, and they're just seeing like there's a bigger story, a richer story to be told here, and that there's a place, like the footage I've seen of people at the concerts and things like that, where they're crying and connecting, and there's this real kind of longing and maybe even hurting that's going on in people. We kind of know that it's Jesus that can answer that, and that our vocations have to be centered on him if they're ever going to fulfill us. So I think that that was something I was really wanting to sort of drive home, is to say, well, would it be enough for you? Like, even with all the, private jets and all of the admiration, like, we know as Christians that that's not enough. You can go home from concerts like that as the artist, or be so rich and be so empty. Like, we know that it just isn't fulfilling. So that was sort of where I wanted to land the session, and I guess it's something for all of us to think about today. Maybe, there's been a sense of envy, or like, oh, wouldn't it be nice, to have that life, or to be able to, be in that hotel room, or even to afford a ticket. A lot of people had to blow a lot of money even to be at this concert, and there might have been a little bit of envy around, but I just think, Don't worry. Like, there's so much more that Jesus can offer us, a fulfillment that, one night being at a stadium can't fulfill us, in that sort of way. So, so I think like that was something that I was trying to get across as well. And I think the other thing that I came to as well is it's well. Do you know what? If you are having a really awesome night at the Taylor Swift concert, or a fun time on the dance floor, or a song is just really hitting you in the right spot, that's God. That's putting that desire in you anyway. So if an entertainer is having this massive influence on you, it's actually God that put that desire in your heart to start with anyway. It's just an expression of the Holy Spirit, the longing in you for God that is being tapped into. And it's God that put that desire in your heart in the first place. So I think that was just something really important for me, just to kind of ground ourselves in how much bigger God is, how much more satisfying that, all the underbelly of pop culture is the fame and fortune and capitalism and idolatry, like you said before, Karen, that goes along with it. And I think with the gospel, with following Jesus, there's no underbelly, if that makes sense. The only underbelly of it is the cross, that it's a difficult thing to do, and that not everybody, is able to do it, that we're called to something quite difficult. So yeah, but for us, I just felt like it's all good news. There's no sort of but kind of like we have to do with secular culture. With God, it's just all good, and that he can satisfy us,
Amen.
so much more than
Amen.
anything else could.
Amen. So true. Well, I love those seven lessons from a Christian Swiftie. They're very creative, and it's great that you've just spent that time. And I imagine in all the work that you do, that will just come through more and more in your interactions with young people and the retreats that you do, the summer schools, everything. I know that the young people think so much of you.
Yeah, and I guess it's just always having that eye open. Like, some of this you can't avoid, can you? Like that, and maybe, a lot of people want to, and I think that's sometimes the best decision as well, is to turn the radio off and not engage
Yes.
with it. But I think some people, a lot of your, listeners are teachers or parents or things like this, it's coming to them. And I guess it's like, well, how do we engage? How do we walk with people through that? Or if we're someone that's, wanting to engage with
Yes.
secular society, how do we kind of speak into the longing that people have got? And I think, that we've seen sort of an alternative as to where people are turning to now. And sometimes the first step in telling them about Jesus can be engaging with where they're at and asking them about the joy, asking them about what they're connecting with, and then maybe offering them a really compelling alternative, which is the gospel of Jesus. So,
And so true. And I think you point out that, many of the listeners are mums and teachers and people working with young people. And I hope and pray that your lessons have given them something to think about in terms of points of connection with the young people in their life, whether they're children or whether they're young people that they're ministering to. But it's fantastic. And tell me, Bernard, where can women go to find out more about Missionaries of God's Love if they're interested in looking at your retreats or some of the work that you're doing with young people?
Great. So we've got a website, so mglsisters.org, and all of our retreats and events that we've got coming up are on there, our blogs and things like that. So our passion is to draw people away from the craziness of all of this and into retreat, and to really hear that love story of Jesus. So if you're someone that's seeking that, if you're wanting that for your young people as well, we're connected to the Disciples of Jesus as well, and there's lots of really amazing opportunities for young people to hear about the gospel through them. And our cousins over at Ignite, I'm sure, would love to see your young people if you're wanting to send them to something where they can just really hear the gospel proclaimed in a really fresh and engaging way. So we just want to bless all the youth ministries that are happening at this time, because it's not an easy time to engage young people, but I think we've just got the best message. And so when we can capture the imagination of young people, I think there's so much to be gained. We've got such a beautiful message, and we want to capture their attention with that.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Berna, and God bless you and the wonderful work that you're doing with young people.
Thanks so much, Karen. Bless you too. It's so good to chat to you today. Thank you.
Well, there are seven lessons for you from a Christian Swiftie, and I hope that there was something in there that might help and equip you in your work with young people, in your parenting, and even in your own personal life, how we discern some of those influences in popular culture. Ladies, the doors are now opened to the Catholic Women's Masterclass, and I would love for you to come and join us. If you are a woman who is feeling burnt out, who is feeling like you need to be reoriented, I guess, for the next part of this year, if you're a woman who doesn't know what her gifts are, or you're just struggling to overcome some of the limiting mindsets in your life, this masterclass is a four-month journey of transformation where we address all of those things. And we really help you to develop some rhythms of renewal that will help you flourish in life and live into the wholeness and the fullness of the abundant life that Christ speaks about. And not only speaks about, but that he promises you. If you'd like to find out more about the masterclass, please visit the website www.geniusproject.co. Once again, it would be so helpful if you could head on over to the podcast platform that you are listening to this on and leave a rating and a review. This really helps support the work of the Genius Project, and I would be so grateful for your support in this area. Until next week, ladies, have a beautiful week. God bless you, and I look forward to you joining me again next week.